Well, as we come now to the preaching of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to 2 Peter. Apologies there for the solo. I had the mic on during, in case I forgot to turn it off before we sing. But this morning, our message comes from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and that's on page 1299 of your pew Bibles if you're using that. As we begin this morning, I want to start by reading in verse 16 of chapter 1, and then we will read through verse 3 of chapter 2. So hear now the living word of God, beginning in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. In Peter's second letter, we come here to a passage of warning. And it falls directly on the heels of a passage where Peter was commending the testimony that he and the other apostles were giving, and the gospel and the teaching that they were giving. It is something that is not uncertain, but it is a prophetic word that is confirmed and more certain. It is not a cleverly devised myth, but something that they actually saw and heard and partook of. Well, as he begins chapter 2, he begins with a warning about false prophets and false teachers and their false teaching. Not last week, but 3 weeks ago, when we looked at the verses before this section, we looked at the importance of us recognizing the Word of God and heeding it and paying attention to it. And as we dive back into this book, we're jumping in on the opposite of that. We're to pay heed to the Word of God that is given to us, that is born to us from heaven, carried along to us from heaven by the Holy Spirit. We're to heed that and hold on to it. But contrary to that, as regarding false teaching, we're to stay away from it. We're to avoid it. We're to beware of false teachers and their teaching. And the reason why, as Peter addresses it here, is that it leads ultimately to destruction. We're to keep watch over and avoid false teaching because ultimately it leads towards destruction. the very well-being of our eternal souls and our glorified bodies are at stake. And we need to hold fast to the truth, but let go of falsehood. So the application we'll be looking at with these verses this morning is for you and I, brothers and sisters, to beware of false teachers, for their way leads to destruction. And we'll be looking at this application in 4 points. First of all, beware of false teachers and their teaching. Then beware of false teachers and their sinful lives. Beware of false teachers and their greed. And then fourthly, the destruction of false teachers is from long ago and not asleep. So first of all, in verse 1, beware of false teachers and their teaching. Peter says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. You will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Now, as we consider these verses, first of all, he has just talked about how there were prophets of old, how no prophecy has ever come by any human will, but men were carried along by the Holy Spirit and gave us the scriptures. This is how the Bible came into existence, written by the Holy Spirit through the pens of men. But as he talks about how there were true prophets and teachers who gave us the word of God, even back then there were always false prophets who proclaimed falsehood. And as there have always been these false teachers, there always will be these false teachers among God's people. There will always be a need in the church to be careful and to be watchful and to look at what is being taught and to examine it according to the scriptures and to make sure that it is the truth and not something that is strange and new and unusual. This is actually a good test. If you are listening to a speaker who, a preacher who all of a sudden says that he's got some new interpretation or new idea, that should be an immediate warning sign, like, wait a second. The word of God has not changed. It is the same word that has been preached throughout the ages. So if we hear something that hears something new and exciting from the word of God, we need to be on edge and we need to be alert and be warned. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily, it may be a new understanding or a new application. It's perfectly fine. But we need to beware if people say they have some new interpretation or understanding of the word. Now, one of the things Peter says about these teachers and their teaching is that they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. And that is different from what Peter and Paul have said of their testimony and what they taught. They're not trying to hide something. They're proclaiming only. They're proclaiming it clearly for people to understand. But the imagery that's given here is that there's something subtle coming in. Somebody is kind of sneaking in the side door and subtly starting to weave their teaching among the people, not being done outwardly and with full clarity. And as we consider the word destructive heresies, even the word heresy is a word that implies something that is a sect or something that is separates. So the teachings that are being brought in are not in line with the truth that the apostles are proclaiming, and is actually something that is causing a wedge and a division and creating a sect or a separation among God's people. And one of the things that Peter also says here is that they even deny the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Now, as we consider that phrase, denying even the master who bought them, that can maybe cause some questions in our mind. Like, well, if they are bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, does it really mean that they're false teachers? I mean, if we're bought from our master, isn't our salvation secure? Isn't our redemption fast in Christ's hands? Now, as we consider these words, I want to remind you of what another apostle wrote, the apostle John, in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. There we read, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are, that the all are not of us." And what the Apostle John is talking about here is that there were those who had, you know, the title of a teacher, and he went out, but they were proclaiming something that was contrary. And so all outward appearances, it looked as if, okay, these were legitimate teachers. But then as they began to teach something that is wrong and that is false, and they began to draw people away from Christ, they were proving that they weren't actually a part of the body of Christ in the first place. See, what Peter is talking about of even denying the master who bought them is talking about what we can see. And there are times when we see things and it looks like, okay, that person is a believer, but then they separate from the way of Christ. And the church has to declare that they are actually not a believer. It means that they weren't a part of Christ to begin with. And it means that on the outward view that we have, what we can see in their works, it looks as if it's a denial of the master who at one time bought them. But the reality is, as John points out, they went out from us because they were never really a part of us. So that is what Peter means here by one who, even denying the master who bought them, but they are proving by their secret teaching, by this destructive sectarian heresies of dividing people, they are proving that they are not actually a part of Christ. So how do we know what is a false teaching? Paul, in the letter to the Galatians, writes in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, these words. He says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Now, Paul in Galatians, he's dealing with a situation where there is this church that people have come in and they're starting to tell them, no, actually, to really be saved, you also have to follow all of these old ceremonial systems that were passed down from Moses. Like, that is required for your salvation. So that's the situation that Paul is dealing with here. And so he's writing to them and saying, you are freed from those things in Christ. And those things have no benefit to your eternal soul in following them as far as your salvation is concerned. And he wants to get the point across so clearly that he uses strong language here. He says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is what's important. And if anyone is teaching something contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. And what Paul is saying there is that let them be condemned to hell. That is how fervently Paul is writing to the Galatians. And that is how serious the situation is. Because false teaching, a false gospel, will lead us to destruction. That is what awaits. It is something that is core. If there is anything that is taught that it is Jesus Christ plus such and such, that is to be rejected outright. It says, no, it is only Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the only gospel that is to be proclaimed. It's important, brothers and sisters, in that we grow in our knowledge and understanding of this gospel. That we proclaim this gospel to ourselves every single day. That we are not saved by our works, but we're saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. We are not saved by what we do. We are saved by what God has done for us in Christ alone. And it's vitally important that we preach that to ourselves every day. The reason being, take this illustration as an example. Our kids reach ages of transitioning from taking or being given baths to taking showers. There's a little bit of lesson that has to go on in how you work those little knobs as you're in the shower. Like this one that has an H on it is hot, and this one that has a C on it is cold. And so, you get your temperature right, but when you're done, always turn the hot one off first. You always turn the hot one off first. And why? Because if you turn the cold one off first, you've got this full blast of hot water that hits you and can burn you. It can cause serious damage. So if someone comes along and tells you you turned the cold one off first, don't listen. You turn the hot one off first so that you don't injure yourself. Well, brothers and sisters, this is basically what Peter and Paul are saying. Turn the hot water off first. Don't trust in another gospel. It will lead to your destruction. So it's a warning, brothers and sisters, first of all, to not heed and to beware of false teachers. It is a certain thing that false teachers will be in the church. False teachers have always been in the church, and false teachers will always be in the church. And so it's important for you and I to know the gospel, to understand it, and to judge everything we hear by it, so that we can beware and not follow in their destruction. Secondly, we're to beware of false teachers and their sinful lives. Not only were the false teachers proclaiming a false gospel with their words, but they were also proclaiming a false gospel with their lives. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 15 and 20, proclaimed, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. The healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." As we consider teaching, really what teaching, that word there is a word that's also translated as doctrine. When we think of the word doctrine, sometimes we can think, oh, that's just kind of a cold thing. But really all that the word doctrine mean is teaching. It's what we learn. It's what we're taught. It's our doctrine. It's teaching that we hold to. Now, as we consider teaching doctrine, it's sometimes the word doctrine is used with the understanding that it's something that's kind of cold. It's academic. It's something that you do just kind of like in your study. But is teaching or doctrine really something that is cold or static? Maybe you can think of it this way and ask yourself, why do you go to school? Why do you go to high school? Why do you go to a vocational school? Why do you go to a college or university? Why do you study and receive teaching, receive doctrine in these settings? We receive doctrine, we receive teaching in these settings so that we can take what we learn and then we also apply it to our lives. We apply it to our work situations. We apply it to our schooling situations. We begin to live what we are taught. And that is something that we all do. Doctrine, teaching, is not something cold. It is something that directly impacts and affects our life. It will bear fruit. And if we are bringing in false teaching, if we're bringing in false doctrine, then the fruit that we're going to have is bad fruit, is what Jesus is saying. But if we're bringing in the truth, if we're bringing in the gospel, then the fruit of the gospel will be seen in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul gives it to us, the fruit of the vine, as Jesus says in John 15. These things will be evident in our life. You see, doctrine leads to action, and this is why it's important that we have right teaching and right doctrine. And as Peter refers to the sensuality of the false teachers, what it is showing is that the false teachers' own false teaching is having the fruit and effect in their life. And they are living in a way that is contrary to what Christ calls us to live. And they are encouraging others to follow after them and follow in their own sensuality and their own way of life in wrong living. Peter then goes on to say strongly that the truth is, or the way of truth is blasphemed. And when we consider this phrase, the way of truth, this is a longer way of saying what Paul or Luke writes in the book of Acts when he's referring in the early church of what Christianity was called in that day. It was called the way. The way is known as a sect, as the way of truth. They're blaspheming the way of truth by their lives of sensuality. The gospel that is the cornerstone and the foundation of the church and the light that we hold out to a dark and dying world, this is the way of truth and is being blasphemed. Because as people would look at these false teachers and they would see what they are, they hear what they are proclaiming and then look at their lives and they would see that those people are really no different than the world around them. And in some cases, they are acting even worse than the world around them. There is a darkness here, a blaspheming of the light of the gospel. And so not only are they teaching a false teaching with their mouths, but they are teaching a false teaching with their lives. And it's a reminder for us, brothers and sisters, that not only do we proclaim the gospel of truth with our mouths, but we're proclaiming it with our actions in our lives. This is why our actions in our lives are important. We don't receive salvation through our works. We don't receive salvation through our actions. But it is the fruit of our salvation. As God in His grace works in us by the might of His Holy Spirit, the Creator of heaven and earth works in us. He bears fruit. And when we don't see the fruit of our lives changing over time, now, there may be times when we struggle and we fall and we trip up, but if we can look at our life and there is no change, if we're at the same spot as where we were years ago and there is no growth in our battle with sin and wickedness, if there is no evident sanctification, it is a cause for concern for us. It is a time for us to go back to the truth, to the gospel, and to cry out to God for mercy, and to cry out to this God of truth who will sanctify us by His truth and who wills for us to be sanctified by His word, to do that good work and to sanctify us and to give us the strength that our life will bear witness as our mouths bear witness. And so, brothers and sisters, we're called to beware of false teachers and their teaching because it is destructive, because it also bears fruit in our life and will lead to destructive behaviors contrary to the gospel. Thirdly, we are to beware of false teachers and their greed. You know, back again in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15, Jesus says that as He gives that beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Put yourself you know, in a position where you, in your imagination, where you might be in front of a wolf that is ravenous. You know, what does that word ravenous mean? Isn't that a terrifying thought? For our own physical well-being, of being in front of a strong, fast, powerful, violent animal that is ravenous, that is hungry to a point of devouring everything in its path. This is what Jesus says the false teachers and false prophets are. It's a good reminder for us. They may come, as Jesus says, in sheep's clothing. They look meek. They look mild. They look godly. They look really good on the outside. But inside, they're just seeking your destruction. And they're seeking my destruction. They are ravenous wolves. Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 12, Jesus also teaches in these verses. In John chapter 10, verse 12, he gives this teaching. This is just after in verse 11, where he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them, scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus here is contrasting his own role as the chief shepherd, who laid down his life for us, versus those who would be false shepherds. They're false shepherds like a hired hand. And Jesus clearly shows us that when there is a real danger there, the false hired hand, the false shepherd, the hired hand will just leave. And the reason is because they're not concerned about the sheep. They care nothing for God's sheep. They care nothing for God's people. All they are concerned about is themselves. They want their own well-being. They want their own good things, and they don't care how they get it, and they don't care what happens to those in their path. They are ravenous wolves, and they care nothing for the sheep. Peter, back in our text, talks about how, in verse 3, "And in their greed they will exploit you with false words." They will exploit you with false words. Jesus, again, in the passage where he is taking Peter, who has denied the Lord, and he is reinstating him, as we see in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19, we see that Jesus, after they have eaten breakfast, you know, as the story goes, he asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And each time, you know, Peter responds, Jesus responds to his response by calling him to feed his sheep, to tend his lambs. Now, and Jesus here is setting up for us the imagery of what those in the office of elder are to encompass and to be, those who would be leaders and teachers in the church. They are not to be hired hands. They are to be those shepherds who would be willing to lay down their life for the sheep, who would feed the sheep with the pure truth of the gospel and not add anything to it. This is contrasted by Peter with the word, "In their greed, they will exploit you." They're ravenous wolves. They don't care about the sheep. They're greedy. And they only care about their own well-being. Exploitation is their goal. And we need to be aware of that, because no matter how good they look on the outside, no matter how good their lives may be, if they are proclaiming a false gospel, a way contrary than what God has given us in his word, that we are saved only through Jesus Christ and by God's grace alone, then they are false teachers. They are hired hands and to be rejected. So we're to beware of false teaching, false teachers and their teaching. And point four, the ultimate reason why is because their destruction is coming, and their teaching will lead us in the path of that destruction. That is why we are to beware of false teachers and their teaching, because their teaching will lead us to, ultimately, hell itself. They are blind guides, and if we follow after them, we are proving ourselves to be blind following after them. Now, Peter here says in verse 3 that in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So first of all, their condemnation, their destruction, first of all, is from long ago. Well, what does this mean? Well, if we go all the way back to the beginning of our Bibles, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, we read in verses 1 to 5 these words. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, "Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. So in the very early on in the history of God's people, the instruction was laid out of what to do if a prophet comes and he's able to do all kinds of wonderful things and wow people. There is still yet the call that if that then prophet or dreamer of dreams calls people to go worship other gods, that doesn't matter how amazing the works that they do, that and sometimes would give credibility to the message of a prophet, if the message itself is wrong, God is saying, do not listen to that prophet. Do not follow after them. And so, in that sense, the destruction is from long ago. The ordinance is laid out of what to do with a false prophet and a false teacher. Their path leads to destruction, and you are to reject them and to hold fast only to the gospel. We also see in Psalm 94... In Psalm 94, verses 1 to 10. O Lord God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord, knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. So in these ways, as Peter then writes in our text, that their destruction is from long ago. The scriptures are full of warnings against false teachers and false prophets and the destruction that comes to them. And so as Peter is writing to this church that is being, some are being enticed by these false teachers, he's reminding them, hold fast to the truth. You know, God has a plan for them. If they continue on in their destructive heresies, their path will lead to destruction. Do not listen to them. Hold fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ and do not follow them. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 24, verse 30, 23 and following, gives a similar warning. He says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Jesus, in these words, is warning about how in this day and age, in these times, in these last days, there will arise false teachers proclaiming a false gospel. That's the essence of what Jesus is saying, of here, oh wait, here's the Christ, here is how you get saved. And Jesus is saying, no, I have come in this way and I will come again. And if anyone says to you and proclaims to you a false message, a message different than this, don't believe them. Hold fast to the truth that I have proclaimed to you. Do not follow after them. And Jesus says here, so as to lead, if possible, even the elect. It doesn't mean that God's people will ultimately be deceived. But it says, if possible, they would try to. The command of brothers and sisters is, hold fast to the truth of God's word. He is our shepherd. He has spoken. And by his grace, we know his voice. Do not be led astray by teachers of a false gospel who say there is Christ plus another way. Hold fast only to the truth of the gospel as Christ proclaimed it, that there is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved, and that there is no way to the Father except through him. And so, brothers and sisters, beware of false teachers, for their teaching and their way leads to destruction. Amen. Our gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for giving us the truth, and that once again you are a God of truth. We thank you, Lord, for the simplicity and the clarity of your gospel, that we are saved by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Father, if we hear any other message, may we reject it outright. And may you in your grace give us the strength to hold fast to your truth alone. And may we, Lord, grow in our knowledge and understanding of your gospel so that we may be able to see false teachers for who they are and take these warnings seriously. And may you in your grace give us the good fruit that your gospel produces. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.